Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
First question. This one is specifically for Lou Merlone.
Angry Lou. Angry Lou.
Have you finally come around on Mr. Horford, or do you still think he's average?
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
Al is the most important player on the Celtics team.
I'm surprised Anna hasn't tweeted me after that performance last night.
But as far as being obnoxious and not being able to take an L, I'd give that to Lou Merlone, no, or whatever the... his name is.
Joe Maloney.
This is just a totally different Chris Sale, isn't it?
I think it's rattling some people.
Guys are going to be hurt. You've talked about Chris Sale.
Kind of seemed like I had to revert over to my off-speed pitches more.
Cora adversity, right here, or corn adversity.
Corn you adversity. Want
your flavors are excellent.
Right now.
These moments are what makes sports so much fun.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
It's unbelievable. You talk about stereotyping a guy. NBC Sports Boston gets Lou in last night. Baseball season's begun. Team is faltering. According to one talk show host here at WEEI, the manager's on a hot seat. And what do they ask him? A lame old topic about average Al Horford.
Yeah. So what am I Lou, you're in the next segment. What do you mean? What are we doing? Socks? No, we're going to talk at Celts. Okay, well, who am I with?
Sneak attack?
Draper and Sherrod. I'm like, okay, what's the deal?
This one is specifically for Lou
Merlone.
This is the
first question. Yeah. Have you changed your opinion now?
So,
first freaking triple-double in his career as a Celtic.
It's a big night.
And they bring me in.
It was a big night.
Draper still doesn't get it. He's too dumb
like
to figure out what I'm talking about.
It didn't go well, though,
I addressed Draper. It was ridiculous.
So
he was
what
embarrassing.
They...
He calls the games. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I'm talking about the X Factor.
So what do they do with Tomasi over there? Do they just bring up Spygate to him? They do so. Let's do a segment on Spygate.
I don't know.
We got Tomasi here.
I don't know.
Where's the video tape?
Sorry.
Does that mean Tomasi is going to be on the late show? So if I need, instead of taking an Ambien, I can just watch him talk?
Sure.
For an elongated period of time?
Speaking of Ambien, but actually the show's very good, but he might be
what show are you talking about?
He's
not on the baseball show.
He might be once in a blue moon.
I'm talking about the BST, the cool show where all the cool kids are watching.
I don't know about you, Christian. I used to like the baseball show. I don't know what the hell happened to that show.
Is this the first baseball show of the year?
No, we're talking baseball. What do you mean?
I don't like the new name. I think I'm just against the new name.
I am.
Talking baseball.
And I think I want Drellick back there.
I think I've said you're watching Talking Baseball right now. Say that.
Talking baseball.
For what and doing who?
You're watching Talking.
Watching Talking Baseball.
Here's what they should do, Glenn.
You know what? If they really want to be authentic and really dive into the role and be part of the game, not just talk about it, but be part of it, they should dress up in uniform just like Alex Cora does. They should all be in uniform. Because if the manager, who's really just a coach, is going to dress up like a player, even though he isn't one, then the analysts who are just walking, talking baseball should be dressed up in a uniform also. I feel like you should do that. That should be an old-time uniform. I want the whole look, baggy
pants.
They got to
go jacket. They want a sport coat.
No, just wear a uniform. And you're the host, right? Aren't you the host?
I am.
You're the host. So you should definitely be in a uniform.
So you say it's my show.
Yes.
I love baseball.
Of course it's your show. Who else on that show played baseball?
Well, I wish
did Tomasi play baseball?
It would have been fun to do that one after that game.
did Tomasi play baseball?
No, I don't know.
Has he ever held a bat?
He might have.
A wiffle bat?
He might have.
When he was six?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Other than that, there is no baseball.
I don't know.
There's no just talking.
Talking about baseball, I stayed up for the entire game last night. I'm proud of myself. No, I'm proud of myself.
You
are
a liar.
For the entire game.
Glenn Ordway is a liar.
Thank you.
I drank about three Diet Cokes. I feel like Francesa, and I couldn't get to sleep. And I'm sitting there going, I got to go to sleep. And I kept on staying with it. But the first couple of innings were just the most bizarre thing in the world. We spent a lot of time talking about Chris Sale.
Red Sox.
And load management and how they're going to manage it. Alex Cora, if I haven't told you yet, is going to join us in 25 minutes. So we'll find out exactly what's going on.
He will tell us the inside story.
But I'm sitting there watching Chris Sale throw the ball 88 or 89. I'm sitting there going, what the bleep is going? There's no way this is going to last. Then we get to the third. Then we get to the fourth. Then we get to the fifth. And I'm sitting there going, this is Greg Maddux. This guy has recreated himself. Throwing the ball at 88. Change up, sliders, perfect location. So I don't know what to believe anymore. What are we supposed to believe?
You think he looked right?
No, he looked totally different, but did he look good? If I didn't know, and I had, there was just a tall, skinny kid who throws the ball at 88 miles an hour, and he's got all this junk to his game, and he's got good location, I'd sit there and say, after watching that game last night, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. Is he a $30 million pitcher, though? Did you watch that guy?
Well, I think you need a fastball eventually, especially when you get into later part of the season. You need a little bit of heat and cheese, as Eck would say, but I think he's going to build it up. I mean... But weren't we at 93, 94, 95 in the maintenance program, and now we're down to 88,
so 89? Last year, the game plan for Sale coming out of the gate, he wasn't 97, 99, 100 like he was in June and July. The first game last year against Miami, you know, he averaged velocity fastball was 92.99. So we call that 93. Is that fair to say?
Fair.
And I don't even know. Actually, have Cora, after his first start in Seattle, because in that first inning, we saw 93, 94 miles an hour. And we know it wasn't pretty. The wheels fell off. But Cora, after the game, even talking about what we saw last year from him.
If you compare it to the first start last year, velocity-wise, he hit a few 94. But, you know, it wasn't last year, it wasn't 97, 98 either. I do think he tried to go to certain...
Yeah, so he hit 94 last year.
Oh, this is much better.
93 against Miami. Then he came out against the Yankees, and he was 93.91. He had one dip against Baltimore, looking at 90. And then it was 93s and 94s. That's where he lived, and that's where he put up some numbers. And to me, that was Chris Sale dialing it down a little bit. 92, 93, hitting 94, maxing out at 94.
So what is this?
Is this the new plan? We don't even want him to go 93 because we don't think he can live there?
It has to be, because he did wear out in September.
But he wore out because he dialed it up in June and July, in my opinion. Maybe that's completely off, but... He woke up one day after getting shelled in Atlanta and hit hard in Houston and said, that's it, I'm done with this crap. And I'm throwing 98 to 100. And that's when he started seeing Chris Sale again. Not 12 strikeouts a game. You're like, man, just blowing guys away.
He had one last
Not
time.
Just you know, pitching and getting results, but the Chris Sale we saw from the year before, this one, 88, 89, he looked like he was playing catch. There was no exertion whatsoever.
No. Hey, he had one strikeout last night, because you're right. He couldn't blow it by. There were no swing and misses on fastballs. They made contact on every fastball that he threw anywhere in the strike
zone. Same thing with the
zone.
First start.
Yes.
Well, I think you guys are... Okay, so Sale gets most of the attention because he is the starting pitcher, yep. And he screwed up the first one. So it is, but you sit there... If they win this game, they had plenty of opportunities to win this game. Xander had two opportunities. Jackie Bradley Jr. had an opportunity. With all the two-out hits he had last year, he got nothing done. Xander hesitated twice on that one long hit in the ninth.
He did.
So I get the fact that we're focusing on Sale, but don't you think that the offense should bear some of this burden also?
This is
like, they're part of the issue. They're going to get shut out two games in a row? With that lineup, with that offense, with all that skill, with all that history, we're just going to just act like that's not part of the problem
either. I'm not worried about it.
So you'd rather focus on... Okay, so why not... So if you have that opinion with the offense and all those guys hitting, why can't you say that about Sale?
He's going to pitch. He's going to pitch.
His track record is that he pitches great in the beginning of the season. He's an all-star, and he fades off at the end.
That was a different guy last night. As I said to you, if I didn't recognize him, I would think that it was just a different dude out there, skinny dude out there.
You know who you are?
Who?
Victim of the moment.
Again,
you're
a victim of the moment.
There's too much history, Glenn.
Are you really worried about the offense of this team?
Well, my point is not that I'm worried about either. The fact is that neither side is performing. So if you're going to blame Chris Sale, you should also put some of the blame on the offense.
Listen,
not delivering or being shut out two days in a row.
So if you think
they're going to hit, eventually going to hit, they should also believe, based on his track record, that he's finally going to get it together.
But the difference is, you're mentioning track record. The track record for Chris Sale is that he was on the DL the rest of the year last year for about 2 months.
Right.
And when he came back, he didn't look right. So me, that's short-term memory. That's just what I saw
him
finish the year.
That's not a saying. We're not using that as a saying.
But I'm just saying that happened.
The saying is a victim of the moment.
And for him to go out there and throw 88 and top out at 89 miles an hour, he says they were sitting fastballs on him. Well, yeah, because you were only throwing 89. I mean, if you're throwing 94, 95, maybe you get that ball past Chapman or he pops it up or something like that. So the concern is long-term. It's 88, 89. And the only way I'd ever be concerned with this offense or Mookie Betts hitting 222 is all of a sudden if you decided to hit lefty. Then I would say, we got a problem.
Talking about a victim of the moment, are you really serious that you think that the offense is going to be a problem for this team?
Based on a small sample size?
Yeah.
I would say that you're focusing on the pitching and you're focusing more importantly on Sale. Where you, if they win this game, you're looking at Sale and his velocity, and you're saying, well, you know what, he's got a good plan. They're going to stick to it, and this one could have gone away with him. Well, thank God they have the courage of their convictions, and they're sticking with what they know is best.
Are you worried about
the
offense?
They're not going to be. Well, but I'm not worried about Sale either.
I don't know what you're saying right now.
I'm not worried about Sale either.
Okay,
you're looking
that's
at
fair.
The velocity, that, and you're. Fair. I'm just saying you can't have one without the other.
They're worried about Sale.
If they won,
hold on, they're worried about
Sale.
I'm not sure they are.
Says who?
They're dropping him down to 88 or 89.
So okay, they but be, that's they, part of the. But that,
yeah, but why there's a new plan.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a new plan because they have concern with Sale. And by the way, as I said to you, if I didn't know better, I like that guy I saw pitch last night. Because if I didn't know that he controlled the ball above 90, I'd sit there and say, it's pretty cute out there in the mound.
I like six innings, one run. Who wouldn't like that? We all know it is about results. So after the game they're talking about, it's all about results. Keep us in the game.
He did.
Chris Sale did that. But boy, you got to work. When you're throwing 88, 89. You got to work, and he can do it.
Get used to it. They're doing this for a while.
But, boy, you got to work. I mean, the difference is you're living life at 95.
But I wouldn't worry about the offense.
They were able to stick with their plans and everything and their agenda, but they had support. So they were getting away with a lot of stuff that we probably didn't even notice because you had offense. You had a ton of offense. You had a ton of hits.
Are you worried about the offense?
I'm not worried about either, Glenn. Okay. So there you go. So it doesn't matter.
Last night, the offense was an issue. There's no doubt about it.
They got shut out the night before that.
The last two nights.
Yeah. Two nights in a row. Did this offense get shut out 2 nights in a row?
I know. And sometimes, listen, dude, that curveball he was throwing all night, he doesn't throw that many curveballs. No. He's just flipping that thing over left and right. He doesn't throw many curveballs, and that's all he threw last night. I think their starting pitchers in the last 36 innings have given up one earned run.
Yeah, they've been great out of the game.
In the last six games.
Yeah, they've been
so terrific. Sometimes you're like, but I expect this more out of this lineup. But when I look at a big picture, really the only concern I have for this first 1-5 start is just 88, 89.
Yeah.
If they tell me that that's how he's going to pitch, I would say, why can't he pitch at 92, 93?
See,
that's a huge difference.
That's what I think is the difference, Christian. When it comes to the offense, I would say this. Mookie Betts is not going to hit what he's hitting right now. Vasquez might be hitting better than he's going to hit right now. And Jackie Bradley Jr., to the surprise of nobody, even though he had a new swing, is doing exactly what I thought he would do out of the gate. This is Jackie Bradley Jr. All right, we'll talk with the manager coming up at 2:30 on the hot seat. Maybe that's what we should call the manager now, the manager segment every week.
Yeah.
On the hot seat.
Apparently,
Alex.
Muck can't define leverage or hot seat.
Yeah, he had trouble today. Yeah. He really had trouble. I almost feel like, we're doing it with one or both hands tied behind our back. All right, 617-779-7937. More with the Red Sox, the manager, coming up in 15 minutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is just a totally different Chris Sale, isn't it? A lot of breaking balls, fastball, just careful with his fastball.
I think it's rattling some people.
Yeah, it's a different guy, man. He gets guys out. He knows how to pitch. It's been impressive. It really has. It's just a different Chris Sale that we haven't seen. Good breaking ball. I mean, a lot of breaking balls. Fastball not really there. So what? It goes to show you he can pitch without it.
Again, if I didn't know who that guy was out there, I would sit there and say, this guy's pretty good. Too deliberate for me. Too bad we don't have the pitch clock, because they'd be you'd be up there 38, 40 seconds on some of those. But can he do it, Lou, for 2 months? If they need to stretch him out for 2 months to build up that strength in his arm, can he pitch at 88, 89 miles an hour, throwing junk out there for 2 months?
Just like I said, it makes it real hard on himself. You know, because it didn't look like when you watch Chris Sale, and somebody had posted a video on Twitter, you know, him throwing 97 last year, 98. You just see the violence in his delivery, you know, in the arm action, just throwing it with more effort. And last night, it wasn't that. So, is he, you know, that's the question I have. Can Cora and Dane Lavangie go to Chris Sale and say, hey, we want you to throw, we want you to live around 90. He says, okay, I've got that. Can you just go out there and throw 90?
How do you do that? Like, do you hold back in the arm?
Saying, how do you know?
Or is it not? Was he not able to throw 94? But here's I'm just, you know, 95.
So yesterday before our show ended, we all had our opinion of how Chris Sale would pitch, what he would look like. And I feel like we all said that he was going to come out there throwing heat because he hates being embarrassed. We thought he was going to dial up and just really come after it. And regardless of what everyone's telling him to do, because that's really how he's built. That's how he's wired. He can't control himself. He's got to go ahead and throw it to prove everybody wrong. But I would say if they went into him and they said, hey, listen, we know this is what you want to do. We still need you to just honor what we're doing and buy into it, believe us, trust us. And then he was still able to go out there. If that was the plan and he actually went out there and produced exactly how they wanted, especially when you're having other issues with Eduardo Rodriguez and he's not sticking to the plan, Chris Sale has got to be the flag bearer for the plan. So when younger guys go against the plan, they can say, Chris Sale's a veteran. Chris Sale's more accomplished than you. He's sticking to the plan. Yeah. This is a lesson. This is a message to everybody. And Chris, we need you to be the lead pony on this.
Yeah.
Is there anything to that?
Yeah, but it's just for me, it's dialing it back is not 88. Dialing it back is 92. And there is a big difference. Like 3 or 4 miles an hour is everything to a hitter. You know, if I'm facing a guy throwing 89, 90, okay, I'm focusing more like outer half, looking like, you know, staying back more because he's not blowing it by me. 93, I'm like, all right, he's got a good fastball. Now he can set me up. He can get that by me because I'm worried about other things. 96, 97 is a different level. Forget about 100. But every 3 or 4 miles an hour matter. Did you guys hear, you know, we talked about Alex Cora kind of defending his spring training plan. You know, with these pitchers after that Seattle series, we're saying, you know, a little defensive, probably doesn't have to be. I mean, really, it's understandable. How about Dane Lavangie last night?
Same thing.
Talking about the velocity, and is he concerned or worried, or the buildup, I think it was?
92s, 93s. You guys want him to pitch the whole year? Or do you want him to, you know, go out and throw 100 right now and, you know, not be there for his team? And he's building. No, we had a long year last year. He's building up to being the guy he wants to be. So, you know, it wasn't the start of last year similar, but we're getting to that point. But it's not right now.
Again, I don't think Dana needed to go there. You know, like, oh, you guys want him to be here at the end of the year? Or do you want him to throw 100? Like, it's like, listen, you don't. But when he said 92, 93, to me, that would, if he was throwing 92, 93, I would say that's good. He'll live there for he might live there the whole season.
Here's what I would worry about trying to do this over a prolonged period of time. You tell me, Lou. So the pregame report for the Oakland A hitters was, this is what Chris Sale does. Throws the ball, throws the heat. This is the game plan, okay? And the Red Sox, to this point, are throwing more first-pitch strikes than any other pitching staff in Major League Baseball. And, oh, yeah, by the way, teams are prepared for it because they're hitting and teeing off on that first pitch. Instead, he's going out there throwing change up first pitch, change up second pitch, change up third pitch, right? Slider fourth pitch. So the game plan is totally different. But if now I know and I start seeing a pattern of this every fifth day where this is what he becomes, I think he becomes far more hittable, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think that might have caught them off guard last night.
Yeah, but it only should for the first inning. It really should. And I've been in those dugouts and faced guys and somebody's throwing 94, 95 and all of a sudden he's popping 88, 89. I mean, right away, you know, you're watching the gun, you're looking at him throw, and the word in the dugout is you don't have it. He doesn't have it. Now, you still got to worry about his changeup and slider because it's still, you know, above average, still very good pitches. But the changeup is good. And this was the amazing thing with him last night. And tip your cap to him the way he threw the ball. When you throw 88, 89, your changeup's 83, 85.
Yeah, very little separation.
There is no separation whatsoever.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Calling him average.
And he still was dominant with it, though. You know, I mean, he threw the hell out of it as far as executing and location. But I've been in those dugouts. He don't have it.
If we said yesterday,
and they still didn't adjust.
You were talking about yesterday how we were talking about this at the end of the show. If we had left the show yesterday and saying he'll go six innings and he'll give up only two hits in the game, we'd all be thrilled and
we should win.
And what would we be saying? Oh, he's got that fastball burning. Well, you know, he's doing some of that. Instead, he became overnight this junk-ass pitcher that was out there throwing the ball at 88, 89 miles an hour. And he gives up two hits.
But I would also say
innings.
That Sale's also been a victim for a while now, going back to last year and the year before that, where he'd have great outings and he'd have no run support.
Yep.
So, and then today, I mean, last night, he got through it, but he had no run support whatsoever. It's almost like he snake bit in that category, where if he had, like last year, if he had more run support when he pitched well, his record would be so much better.
Yeah,
so,
I think that goes in runs, though, if you look, you know.
But still, it happened a lot to him. That's what I'm saying.
It did, and you know.
There's always a guy.
Yeah.
You know, who's the guy? Who's the pitcher this year? That's why I talk about the unknown opening day. You never know.
Oh, great unknown. Please.
But who's the guy?
I wish you could have a time machine.
But it's like, you know, who's the guy? Sale loses 1-0. Who's the guy that gets a W after giving up 7?
Right.
Wins 8-7.
Right.
You know, there's always a guy that gets a bunt, especially early in the year.
Hey, Eduardo, way to go.
But, you know, his next start's probably opening day, right? Because they're going to throw in a 6-starter.
I don't know. You tell me. Look at the calendar.
That should be opening day.
Yeah.
At home against Toronto. Hopefully it's warm. I mean, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
See if you can find it for me.
All right, so the early weather forecast, probably too early, right? In the 40s and rain.
Perfect.
Early, yeah. Not perfect. All right, let's find out from the manager. He joins us coming up next. We'll talk to Alex Cora, and we'll find out why they're being defensive about this and exactly what this new game plan is with Chris Sale. Our first visit with the manager, actually our second, because we visited with him in spring training. So strike that
last
time.
Feels like the first time.
Right. you know, there's nothing like the first time. We do that coming up next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Would you recommend any player ever listen to Sports Talk Radio? Because I wouldn't.
I didn't as a player. Yeah. You know, I didn't.
I think it's bad for a player.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a sports fan, too, and I love when you guys talk about the Celtics and the Patriots and all that, I enjoy it, you know. Yeah, when you guys talk about the Red Sox. Like,
yeah, we don't know it. We don't know enough about it. Lou doesn't know enough about it.
Angry Lou.
That's a problem.
No, it's Dr. Lou now.
Oh, Dr. Lou.
Christian and I agree.
He fixes things. You put the music behind.
Yeah, we got it all.
But a player. Players should get it.
So we are happy to report that the one manager or coach in town who actually listens to our show is back again as a regular every Wednesday. Alex Cora joins us live from Oakland, California. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
You're all right? You okay?
Yeah, I'm
you all right? You need some help? No, you're all right, right?
Not at all, man. Just walking around the streets of San Francisco, good workout in the morning, breakfast, now literally shopping, and let's go get them later on.
Yeah, we heard the sky was falling out there. I wasn't sure what the weather was like, because over here it seems pretty sunny.
That was in October.
Okay, you realize there's no panic back here, and we do panic well, as you know. We're good at panic, okay? But there's no panic right now, right? Everything's good. Everything's good back here.
No, I mean, not the start that we wanted, but obviously we got something going on. We have to be disciplined as far as our pitching staff, and I know a lot of people are worried about that, but you know, if we're disciplined, we're going to be fine. I think the last two nights have been pretty solid as far as the starters. I know David gave up 4, but, you know, the stuff was there. Just, you know, some mistake that the A's took advantage of it. Yesterday, crisp pitch. You know, I know everybody's talking about the velocity and all that, but he was able to locate his changeup. He used his slider. He went six. You know, Workman threw the ball well. Frazier threw the ball well. Now, we haven't hit the last two nights, but you know, things are starting to trend the right way. You know, as long as you know, we pitch in the first part of the game, we're going to be fine.
You know, Alex, heard Dana last night talking about Sale and obviously the questions about velocity. And, you know, last year he did come out of the gates, but it was still, you know, it was 92, 93, 94. Last night it was 88, 89 a lot. So my question is, can you go to Chris Sale and say, listen, this is where we want you to throw at. We want you to throw at 89, 90. We want you to throw at 93, 94. And can you do that as a pitcher?
I think he, you know, he has some history. If you go back to the White Sox, I want to say he's last year there or the second to last. You know, there was a time there that he was actually pitching to contact. And I don't know velocity-wise, but I know he was down from 97, 98. And he was getting a lot of people out, you know. And I do feel that the velocity will come back. It's just a matter of when. Last year it was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. You know, velocity was usually 92, 93. All of a sudden we went to Texas. It was hot and humid, and it was 98, 99. And he went to a period that, you know, he was amazing for two and a half months. So, like I said, I think they understand where we at, how we want things to run. You know, coming into this situation, everything I heard from previous years, it was like Chris was throwing 97, 98 from the first day in spring training, and that's why he got hit against the Houston Astros. So we're trying to be disciplined of what we believe, you know, the program that we have. And, you know, he gave us six yesterday, so that's a good start.
Yeah, so the velocity isn't an issue with Chris Sale. It's part of being disciplined and seeing the big picture for the entire season.
I believe so. You know, I do feel that he understands his body. He understands his windup too. He was way off in the first outing, and yesterday he was under control. He was able to locate his slider, use his changeup, which he didn't do in Seattle, and I think they took advantage of that. And he was actually a lot better than the first one yesterday.
What about Sandy Leon? That's one of the options that were out there the last couple of days. You know, especially with the amount of home runs that the team has given up. Any consideration of bringing him back into the fold, or is it too early?
I mean, we got two capable catchers. I don't think, you know, Sandy or Christian or Blake had to do with mislocation. If you look back at the tape of Nate and Rick in Seattle, the one with Eddie, you know, the walk to Bruce, the base hit by Gordon, and the home run by Bruce later on, I don't think that has to do with the catcher. I think it's execution. If you ask Nate and you ask Chris, if you ask Porcello, you look back and they left a lot of pitches right in the middle, you know, and when that happens, people are going to take advantage of it. We live in an era that when you make mistakes, it's not a double in the gap. It's a home run. People are swinging to the fences, you know, they got their A swing the whole at bat, and they're taking advantage of it. But no, I don't think that has to do with what's going on right now.
Alex, speaking of Eduardo and Blake Swihart, Saturday after the game, you know, Dana was talking about game plan and how there's just they got away from the game plan, and he was trying to figure it out himself. How does that happen in that first start? It was actually Swihart's first game. I'm guessing both of them are to blame for that, maybe game plan not being executed.
No, I think it was more about, you know, the lefties, and we believe that his changeup plays against righties and lefties. And I talked to Eduardo the next day, and it's not like they deviated from it, but he didn't feel comfortable throwing it in there. You know, he felt that, you know, the command wasn't good. He tried to go inside, actually, against them, and he missed fire in the first at-bat, and then he left that pitch out of the plate to Bruce. And I think he tried to go in with Gordon. He got a jam shot. But I think it's more about him on the mound, how he felt about the pitch with those two lefties, and it didn't go, you know, the way we wanted, you know. And they have to make adjustments, you know. We can coach them, all that. We're in the dugout. We really don't know how they feel on the mound. You know what I mean? Like Lou, you know how it is. You know, like, we have hitting coaches, and they thought that, you know, okay, you should do this, you should do that. And when you go to battle, you know, when you go, I went to that batter's box. Sometimes I didn't feel it, you know. Well, most of the time, I guess. But that's the way it works. And I talked to him the next day, and we went over it, and you know, he's going to make adjustments, but sometimes it's about feel. It's not about the scouting report or we have to do this. You know, he didn't feel it that day, you know, with lefties, and he didn't use it.
All right, Alex, you gave us a legitimate reason for moving Mookie Betts down to the number two spot and moving Benintendi up to leadoff. Betts is back in the leadoff spot. Is this permanent, and why did you change?
No, right now I do feel like we're a little bit unbalanced as far as the offense. We know we have Sam, and but without Pierce, it's kind of like tough to match up with some of the bullpens, you know, with the lefties and all that. So I decided to go with him, try to split up Benintendi and Jackie, but then you have Devers and Benintendi. But I was like, you know what, we should score some runs early in the game, so it really doesn't matter who they bring later on in the game. It didn't work out 2 days ago. Yesterday, it kind of worked out. You know, they brought the lefty early, and then we have a good matchup in the ninth. But it was more about that. You know, I think when we're at full force, you know, when Pierce comes back in the next few days, and then hopefully Pedroia comes back sooner rather than later, then we'll have a set lineup, and I'm going to be able to split the lefties and probably go back to Benny leading off and Mookie hitting second.
You know, that decision, that wanting Devers, ideally looking ahead, hitting third, did that play into it as well, having that lefty-righty-lefty?
It's very important. It's very important. I think the kid has done an outstanding job swinging the bat in spring training. So far, so good during the season. So for me, it's very important to split them up, you know. And, you know, Benny's going to hit, and Mookie's going to get going. So you go left, right, left. Right, and then obviously Xander will always be hitting behind JD, and then you have Mitch, you know, when there's a righty, and then we can kind of like maneuver, you know, Pierce depending of you know, the lefty and how Devers is swinging it. So, like I said, you know, right now, you know, we're not making excuses. Obviously, we feel like we can score runs regardless of the lineup that we have, but as far as like lineup construction, you know, there's a few things that, you know, it's going to be cool when everybody's healthy and we can do different things and put the lineup in a better place.
What's the time frame for Dustin Pedroia? When do you think he's going to be called up?
Petey's playing, what's today, the 3rd? Tomorrow's the 4th? I don't even know. He's playing opening day in Greenville. I think that's the 4th. He's playing back-to-back 9. Then Saturday's off. Sunday he'll play 9. And then after that, we'll make a decision what we're going to do.
You know, one thing I was wondering, you talk about sticking to plans, things you did last year was you protected some of these guys. You gave them rest early on, and you started off so well, it was just like, oh, Mookie's got the day off, but hey, you're 6-1. I'm wondering, do you have scheduled days off? 11 games in 11 days is a lot for Mookie and JD here in the next day or two, and does your record, how you come out of the gate, affect that?
No, not really. Actually, Xander isn't playing today, so Xander's not playing today, and during the weekend, we're going to, you know, obviously with no DH, we're going to find a day off for JD, find a day off for Mookie, and find a day off for Jackie. I mean, you got to be disciplined, man. It really doesn't matter. I understand it's early in the season and it's 1-whatever and people, you know, start, you know, asking questions and all that. But I do feel that if we're disciplined, what we believe, you know, stick with the principles that made us good last year, we're going to be fine.
Is Xander off because of getting hit off the ankle last night?
Nah, he was going to get a day off anyways.
Okay.
Tomorrow's a day game, but it's a lefty. So we were debating if it was today or tomorrow. With the lefty, I'd rather have him playing tomorrow at shortstop. And today we go with Brock and with Nooney playing second.
All right, I want to find out how much this affects you. You talked about this last year and the light load on your pitching staff in spring training. It's a marathon. It's a long season. And it paid dividends, obviously, later on in the year. The load was even a little bit lighter this year in spring training. Then you start the season with 11 games out west. And, oh, yeah, the first two teams you play have already played a couple legitimate real games over in Japan. Any of that a factor in why your staff has got off to a slow start?
No, actually, I think the factor is, you know, Seattle, they put good swings, you know. It's a different lineup, but, you know, they got a different personnel as far as hitting coaches and all that. It was a different plan, you know. Those guys, they're buying into launch angle and getting under the ball and hitting the ball in the air. You could see it, you know. They got some different individuals, Malik Smith leading off, and then you got D hitting ninth. Jay Bruce looks healthy. Salazar, he was great against us. I think it was just one of those that we made mistakes and they took advantage of it. And then here in Seattle, you know, I mean, here in Oakland, I think it's what, 4 pitches, 5 pitches, 5 runs, you know, that's their offense. And, you know, yesterday we felt like offensively, we grinded, but we weren't able to finish at bats, and we paid the price. The night before, I think after the throw by Laureano, well, the first throw by Laureano, kind of like it took the life out of the dugout for the first time in the first few games. You know, it was like kind of like a letdown, you know, and we talk about it, and that's going to happen, you know. So I don't think it has to do with the program. I don't think it has to do with them playing two games in Japan. I just feel that we made mistakes down the middle of the plate, and teams are taking advantage of it.
All right, we're talking to manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex, when do you expect to get Steve Pierce back?
I think most likely tomorrow. You know, he played seven innings yesterday. Everything went well. He got three at-bats. He played first. He was running the bases. So most likely, you know, he'll fly here tonight, and most likely he'll be back tomorrow.
It is time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex Cora, or what we better refer to as a good question that the three dumbasses didn't ask the manager. this question is submitted by Tim O'Connor of Steep Falls, Maine. Alex, how do you avoid the pitfalls of a World Series hangover?
I mean, we're about to find out, huh? I never managed a team that, you know, after winning World Series. So, you know, we have our plan. We understand what we have to do. We just got to be disciplined, very disciplined. And if we stay disciplined, we're going to have a great season, and we're going to be back in October and getting a shot to win the World Series.
All right, so, you know, Alex, I've been pretty good with giving you advice that you've obviously have paid attention to because you won a World Series.
Avoided that.
And a lot of really good cliches that you can use. The speeches, yeah, for speech, you know, to influence you. Inspiration. My one piece of advice, no matter what you do, no matter how bad it gets, no team meetings until at least July 1st. Just as a, you know, as a way of doing business. No team meetings. They are the kiss of death. So regardless of what happens, not until after July 1st.
I got you. I'll write that down. I got you.
I think the Celtics have had 16 meetings.
They've had too many.
Far. Yeah. That was your Cumberland's Farm question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us.
Alex, no other lineup Alex, changes Wednesday. Other than Holt at short?
Blake is playing. Blake is catching today. Okay. So it's his birthday, too, so expect a big game from Blake.
All right.
Why, is that just a normal thing,
guys?
Suppose
they're
partying too much.
Yeah.
Threw it out there, you know. Should have a great beer. He was playing anyways, but then I found out it was his birthday. I'm like, oh, this is perfect right here.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy San Francisco. Watch out for the Seals. They're nasty. They are nasty on the waterfront.
Right, okay, you guys take care.
See you later.
That was my problem. My birthday is April 6th.
Your birthday's this weekend.
Yeah, it is, but I never got to play on my birthday because it was too early in the season. They didn't play until at least April 10th.
What are you talking about? Major League Baseball season opened up on the 2nd of third.
Just imagine what your career would have been like if load management was part of the equation. Hey, baby, I'm going to play because, hey, load management takes at least one
utility
or two of these three guys out on a regular basis.
You hear when Will Fleming asked him the other day, first question he asked him, he said, so, Lou, it's probably an emotional time for you, huh? Opening day. Lou, because I never played opening day.
Yeah. I stayed
warm.
I listened to that pregame show. That was,
that was good. Well, that was exciting. Alex is brought to you by Arbella Insurance, by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's good. He's not panicking. That's good. And they shouldn't
be panicking.
You
didn't think he would, right?
No.
I mean, my only thing is with him and Dana kind of a little defensive as far as what their plan is in spring training or what's going on with Sale. And I would tell both of them, you just won the World Series. Like, you got a little leash here. Don't worry about it.
Sure they do.
Got another week.
No, it's better.
I mean,
you said
that without laughing.
How many people right now? Are Red Sox fans are sitting saying 1-5? The season's over. I don't believe in this team. They suck.
Mutt.
That's it.
He sets the dialogue for the city.
No, Mutt defined his hot seat this morning. Did I hear that? Right.
He did. You should listen to it.
I think I should.
I think you may be more confused.
I swear to God, Mutt does the show in a different language every day. I can't understand him. But even the most negative people in this town, nobody's sitting there looking at it 1-5. Oh, we're in trouble. First of all, as you know, Lou, most of the teams in Major League Baseball have already been eliminated, and that includes like first place teams.
But I'm going to try to defend Mutt a little bit.
No.
Just a little bit. The reality is 11 game road trip, they come back and they win three games.
So?
Are you telling me that's not a cause for concern?
It's not a cause for concern, no.
When you win three out of 11?
It's baseball.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, but
In this city, so Alex, that is an alarm. So that Alex, is a man all boats. We're going down.
Christian. What?
That's me going underwater.
When you hear
there it is, thank you.
A coach or a manager
I liked your version.
Is on the hot seat, okay?
Well, hold on.
What does that mean?
Stupidity. I got to listen to this because I have my definition of hot seat, and I'm sure you do also. I don't know if you heard it, but you have to hear it. And maybe someone could maybe they could transcribe it and explain it because I'm still not sure what he thinks the hot seat is.
How did he get off the hot seat today? Because he's in the hot seat with this one.
Who's in the hot seat?
Mutt is. Mutt's in the hot seat.
So wait, now Mutt's in the hot seat. Definition of a hot seat?
Here's how stupid it is. You're talking about going 3-8 in an 11-game road trip, and it's out west, by the way, okay? Which is always difficult, going out west. But 3-8 during an 11-game period. At the end of the season, we can go through every team in Major League Baseball, and I'll guarantee you that most of them have gone 3-8 over 11 years.
Yeah, but you don't
want
to do it out of the gate because you know you're going to do it at some point in the season. Listen, I don't think there's panic in the streets. Unfortunately, we do a daily talk show. So, I mean, you don't have to talk about the 1-5 start and how I wasn't really excited about watching Sale do what he did the way he did it. I love the fact the final line.
If the Yankees are 7-0 right now, then I'm concerned.
This is a debate show.
Because this is all it's about. Forget about these other teams. Tampa Bay may be able to stay in this thing for a while until they suffer a few injuries and they don't have the depth, okay? But we all know it's a battle of the Yankees. One team's going to win the division. The other one's going to win the wild card. You want to win the division. So right now, the Yankees out of the gate. Not only are they struggling, but they've got guys down with injuries. All right,
I want to hear Mutt coming back at me because I want to hear his definition of what the hot seat is.
What?
Easy. What the hot seat is.
Okay, Mutt's reaction to Lou next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.